Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We have a knight!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerds 2 podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on the Skype hotline, we have
Show Trial John.
Do you care to explain that one?
Show Trial?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting here being stand accused of being a douchebag, and you know,
oh boy,
I'm not gonna have a chance to defend myself. Just going to have to interrupt when Sam makes his case.
What, you going to say you were on the toilet the whole time?
Maybe.
A little bit of foreshadowing to the Chernobyl finale. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I guess.
I guess. Yeah, I guess is right. Anyway, if you haven't figured it out, we're going to talk Chernobyl tonight. It's the final episode of the miniseries
finale.
Well, maybe there'll be a second season. No, there's not.
No, there isn't going to be any.
No.
Then
hopefully there's not going to be a second season.
Well, it's hopefully. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Hopefully not. But yeah. But then again, I think that's like end of world thing.
Yeah.
End of world probably. And then after that, we're going to do the new show that John was the one who put forward. I believe it was Good Omens on Amazon Prime. It came out on May 31st, so we're only a week in, or less than a week in, and it's a new mini-series on Amazon Prime. And some of us have watched a little bit, if not all of it, and we can discuss that. Then Godzilla review for myself and John.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the new and exciting movie that came out this weekend, along with a couple others that came out this weekend, but Godzilla was the one who took number one in the box office.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, we're going to start with the news.
Yeah.
So you want to take that?
You want me to take that?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, God. So, hey, guys, we like X-Men, right?
I don't know. I kind of like this new movie I'm reading about, Nightfall.
Yeah, you could talk
about... Not Nightfall, sorry, Knight Riders.
Yeah, you could talk about Knight Riders later on...
my special Knight Rider podcast that I'm starting.
Yeah, apparently, because, you know, you got 17 hours of footage to go through, apparently. Dark Phoenix drops this Friday, and we finally have the reviews coming
this
up.
Friday.
Yeah, it's this Friday. Reviews are coming out, and oh boy, is this movie bad. Right now it sits at a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes, making it the worst X-Men movie reviewed of all
time.
This
is critics, correct?
Critics review, okay. Yes. Because you cannot review it as a viewer, a user, unless you have proof you saw it in the theaters.
Yeah, and it's also strange given that it's not even out in theaters yet until tomorrow night. So
right. Well, but critics are allowed
early access,
yep. And they didn't... I don't know if they lifted the ban or... Because
it would have been lifted today.
Yeah, because usually sometimes movies will do that in case they're like worried about their movie, which this one was clearly worried, as we talked about last week, with the whole ending being reshot. It looks like that didn't save this.
Yeah, but it was a dumpster fire.
Yeah,
and supposedly, you know, you don't want to. The movie was already made when Disney bought it, so
yeah,
you might as well try and save a little bit of it. Maybe possibly get your money back, which is never.
Although technically reshoots were going on even before the merger. So. Mm-hmm.
But then they reshot.
To give you an idea, X-Men Origins was probably the worst one up until now that we all...
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Sean, there's so many X-Men Origins movies. Don't you remember?
Yeah, like the failed Magneto one.
For all of them.
And that was the only other one planned. Anyways, that one sits at 37% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Could you consider every new X-Men movie pretty much an origin?
It depends if they add new characters. they add but a new if character, they're going
back
then
and
yes.
screwing with the timeline.
Well, they're going it's, forward now, though.
Yeah, well, I guess, but
well,
still,
not anymore.
Not with Fox at the helm.
Nope.
Well, anyway,
I love the critics' consensus on here. It says Dark Phoenix ends an era of the X-Men franchise by taking a second stab at adapting a classic comics arc with deeply disappointing results. I have not read any reviews, but it's not looking
good. All right, can we just say Dark Phoenix cannot be adapted?
No, I guess not. I mean,
like, they tried it twice, didn't work either time.
We don't know. We won't know until we see it, because we're gonna see it.
We're going to. Eventually, I'm probably gonna see this.
We're going
movie.
To.
Will this movie be this year's Jurassic World 2?
I feel like this is gonna be should be a drive-in one for us where we all go. And
that's
it's
what we
did
with Apocalypse.
Literally $1 to get in per person for the movie.
We did that with Apocalypse.
I know, but...
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
there's a
too.
Reason why we went to see yeah. it. It was because it was $1 for yeah, a movie. It was
guys, it's always been my dream to be a detective, okay? I know that no reason for me to bring that up right now, but I feel I'm obliged to bring that up right now.
Oh, man. That's a deep cut.
We should
cut.
Do that again, by the way.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about possibly Perfect. Doing with this movie. I feel like X-Men movies are just... They're just fodder for drive-ins. Like, go to the drive-in, spend $3. Why not?
Have Chris's truck die.
Yeah. Hey, it lasted for a while.
It's like, oh no, she's going Phoenix. Where's the sound?
Man, it's so epic. They blew out the sound.
We need to bring a stereo next time.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that was... well, I think it's because I left the door open, right?
I don't know.
I think I left the door open because the speakers were better when you open the door.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, we should definitely bring a stereo or something. Anyway, so yeah, that's our little bit of news.
We're going to the drive-in.
Yeah, we're going to the drive-in. That's what this whole segment was about. Like,
what this whole podcast has been about.
So far.
Just us announcing our plans.
Go see this 28% movie.
22.
I'm sorry.
You're giving it too much credit.
Yeah. Prince of Persia was better than this.
Oh, God, yeah. 107 reviews so far. It's at 22%.
Yeah.
So 22 people. 23 people have liked it so far. So that's good, I guess.
We'll see what happens at the box office next weekend.
It's not going to be good.
Or this weekend. Yeah. I'm sorry, this weekend.
This upcoming weekend. Anyways.
Anyways, moving on to a much better piece of entertainment. The Chernobyl miniseries finally tied up on Monday night on HBO.
Probably equally as disturbing as X-Men, but probably in different ways.
In very different ways, I would say. Well, anyway, we got the trial.
Yep.
We got the second. It's like an inquisition.
Well, yeah. Well, the first trial we didn't see.
Well, it wasn't a trial.
Yeah, it was just the Vienna, like,
the Vienna conference where
this
he was
one,
all like...
Yeah.
Yeah, stuff happened. This one was
this one I liked Chernobyl. Because it showed you what happened leading up into
yeah.
The
so,
event.
What did you guys think of them redoing pretty much everything before episode one?
I loved it.
I loved it. Yeah, it explained everything we needed to know.
Yeah,
and it didn't really dumb down the science for you. It just like was, I'll hold your hand and let's explain to you how nuclear reactors work.
With this window and these blue and red tiles that are in Russian.
Written in
so
Cyrillics.
You're not going to understand.
Yeah.
But trust me, that's what it says.
Although, I like that touch. That was written
yeah,
in
no,
Cyrillics.
That was awesome.
It was how... This is how nuclear physicists dumb things down.
Yeah.
And that is with red and blue tiles. And even then, they're throwing away positive... coefficients and negative coefficients.
It's like dumbed down for kindergarten to understand. Blue is good, red is bad. Yeah.
Oh, well.
The whole show has just been like incredible at just explaining shit. Like, I realize that sounds very just basic, but like everything they've explained like has made like perfect sense. Like, I haven't really had to like rewatch or whatever. Like, and it's, I mean, nuclear fission.
Yeah.
You know? It's not exactly everyday or simple affairs, you know?
Because of this show, I have a better understanding on how nuclear reactors work.
I bet you they're a little different.
I understand they're a little different, but I have a better understanding.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the principle's still the same in every reactor. Steam, it creates steam, and steam
rises. Well, yeah, but like more specifics. Turbine. Not a turbine. That's a hat.
Somebody with a turbine in there, like, I hate my job.
He just keeps spinning. What the hell? I'm getting sick. Oh, man.
The show was really, I hate to say it, this show was kind of perfect.
No, I
agree. It was kind of perfect.
I just looked back to the first time we talked about this, and I was like, it was a slow burn, kind of boring. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it. And I've come out finishing that show, like, give this all the awards.
Right? I got to hand it to.
It was phenomenal.
I got to hand it to the writers and the directors and the cast and everything. They just kind of, they hit it out of the park, especially for a miniseries.
Yeah. No, this was phenomenal.
I hope this wins awards.
Yeah.
On the awards things, I really hope this does.
Yeah, me too.
This is great.
I think it's a shoo-in.
Yeah.
Like, I'm honestly a little upset now that other things that I've seen and thought this year, it's like, oh, that'd be nice if it won something. I just know it's not going to, because, like, this thing's just going to kick ass for all the I don't know if they split up Limited or TV movie or whatever these days.
I think you're right. Emmys does limited release or limited series?
I don't know.
I want to say. There is a
limited series category, but I don't know if it's grouped together with TV movie.
Yeah, but John, you're right. There was. I think they'll split it out. It's not going to be TV. Well, even then, I don't think the main category. I think the main category is what, TV drama.
Yeah, but
everything's split now, so I don't.
Yeah,
and this isn't really a TV.
Anyway.
Show.
I actually ended up watching it last night on Tuesday night, the last episode, and for some reason I just decided to like go back into the first episode, you know, because you just go right back to
the beginning
thing. And it's funny because it makes sense on a different level because I actually understand the things they're saying now.
Hmm.
Like whereas before it's, you know, it's some very basic like sciencey kind of stuff. But you actually like know what they're talking about now, like when they're like, you know, we have to go to like the pump room or whatever. It's like you just saw it before everything happened, you know.
Yeah.
It also laid everything out.
Yeah,
because it was kind of confusing in the beginning where people were actually working.
Yeah,
in the building.
I think that was that was the point, like mass confusion in the beginning, and then it just like all came together in this last episode, which was perfect because it like think of this as like a crime drama, a whodunit. This final episode is like, and the killer is like, that's
literally
what
at a trial.
Yeah, like that literally like what we got with this episode, where it's just laid everything out. But you know, let's not dwindle on the trial for too long, because not like they just reiterated everything we watched, which was kind of nice. But the aftermath stuff is what really hit me in this episode.
Like the real story.
The real story behind everybody. Which I love the fact that they included that at the end.
They had to.
Well, they like you said, Sam, you've been listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
So they've been doing that on the podcast. But it was just really nice that they included.
So like anything afterwards, they've kind of left blank.
But the post-episode, like, what actually happened and like happened. That was the biggest roller coaster ride of my entire emotional life. Cause it was like 30,000 people died, but she had a kid. It's like, ha, oh, ha, oh.
Yeah.
I think the best ha moment for me was when the divers who went in have long been rumored to be dead.
Right.
Two of the three are alive today.
I clapped. I literally was like, yeah. And like Skittles is looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, don't worry about this.
I don't know how, but they're alive.
Yeah, I was so happy that they were alive. I was happy they were alive. I was happy that she was able to have a son.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like the emotion in that thing, like so much happiness. filled with all the people on this bridge die.
Yeah, yeah, but then there's no record of anybody on that bridge living. So.
Yeah, no, they're all dead.
And that's when you see like the kids running around.
Yeah,
and,
you're just like, yeah, everybody watching the fire. Oh my god, yeah. And then, like, talking about the main scientist, like, once he committed suicide, which you see in the beginning of the first episode, once he did that, people, like, his tape circulated, and, you know.
And because he committed suicide, yeah, nobody could really ignore what he was saying.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and then the whole, like, whole thing with was it Gorbachev in 2005, where he was
2004,
like...
2004, and he said...
Like, Chernobyl was the reason why the Soviet Union fell. Like... It was just such an up and down, like, emotional. Oh, my God.
It was. I'm kind of sad to see it go.
I am, too, but it had to. Yeah. It didn't overstay its welcome. I would say last week's episode with the dogs was probably the slowest of the episodes total, because you just saw, like, an isolated incident for most of it. But for the entire series, five episodes, didn't overstay its welcome. It didn't feel like it was over too quick. I think it was just perfect.
Do you guys want to hear ratings for the episodes?
Yes.
On IMDb?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
In 1 through 5 order. 9.5, 9.7, 9.7, 9.6, and a 10.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're, 4 days? No, 2 days, out from when it was released. And it's still a 10.
A 10.
I have never seen a 10 before. I have to admit, but then again, this is early. Mm-hmm. This is early. Yeah. Give it a couple weeks.
It'll
go
down.
Yeah. Probably go down a little bit, but
still. I would still put it high 9. Like this.
Oh God, yeah.
That last episode was just phenomenal because they had to explain stuff that nobody understands except for people who work with that. They did an amazing job showing how incompetent these workers were. Not that it was their fault, but like they just didn't know what was happening, and like. How was it Dyatlov, like, basically screwed them all over by trying to do this test. Like, he had no idea what
they
was doing.
They just wanted a promotion. And so he just pushed them and pushed them to get this done.
And then everybody in the room said the same testimony, that guy was the one ignoring everything. And that was...
And as Sam put it earlier...
in the beginning.
And he just shouts out, I wasn't there. I was in the toilet at the time.
And they're like, nope, papers say you weren't. And he was like, oh, damn.
But I think that makes it really effective that they didn't do that in the first episode.
Yeah.
I think it really makes... It hits the point home.
I like that they showed the before in the last episode rather than showing the before in the first.
Yeah. So
pulled everything together and it was awesome.
Yeah, kudos to them.
Yeah,
John, and I want to see if I can pronounce this right. John Renick or Renke? I don't know how to say it.
I think it's Renke. Name. Yeah, I think something like Renke or something.
Okay, he did a really good job. All the direction and the way he was filming certain things is kind of perfect for the material that he was doing. And it shocked me when I looked at previous works that he did. He did a few episodes of Breaking Bad, Vikings, which I will always recommend to somebody. And he also did some of The Walking Dead, a couple episodes of The Walking Dead. And then the writer for this is Craig Mazin. He wrote and created this whole thing. And I want to say he has a good resume, but... Scary Movie 3, Scary Movie 4, Hangover 2, Hangover 3, and Superhero Movie. You know, that's not really the best resume.
So known for doing some very subtle dramas.
Right, like, right. Like this. But he bangs out this, and you're like, where the hell was that?
Yeah.
This is your calling, man. This is your calling.
And just to go back to the courtroom scene, just that like speech at the end, where he's like, he finally just tells the truth, and he's like, that's how an RKM reactor explodes. Yeah. Lies.
Yeah.
And he just goes through it, like, why everyone was lying, why were there graphite tips, like, and he's like, because it was cheaper.
Why are all these things the same, like... Why do we do this and everyone else doesn't? Because it's cheap.
I think it was John who mentioned last week. Did he mention last week? It was like a Soviet hate piece. But I have to admit, I don't think it was really that heavy-handed that moment. No. But you had to be. You had to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually thought it did it an okay job of showing that, like, yeah, life wasn't great in the Soviet Union, but it was still life. Like, especially at the beginning, we're showing everybody living in Privyet, where it was like, wasn't great, but like you're saying, wasn't being heavy-handed about the whole thing. It wasn't like some dystopian society. It was just like, it was a dysfunctional one.
Yeah.
And then at the end where it's like, when the KGB guy says, why worry about things that aren't going to happen? He's like, that's great. We should put that on our money.
I think this opens a door to stories within the USSR from the probably 60s, 70s, 80s, because it was so closed off. There weren't many tales to tell, you know, for lack of a better term, within that time period for things like this. I don't know how long or how much was covered up from this whole thing, and I'm sure because, you know, the Soviet Union fell, all this stuff was released, and people actually were starting to talk about stuff like this. Imagine how many stories there are in the biggest country in the world at the time that was completely controlled. You know, well,
I've always felt like there's an odd lacking in movies about the Soviet space program.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not tap into that?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of interesting stories there.
It's an untapped market, and I think...
Problem is, you have to find the information on it.
But that's... How did this guy, Craig Mazin,
because find of all the the tapes circulated by the scientist.
Yeah.
Ukraine.
Yeah.
Which helps. Is a lot easier to get access to information there.
Yeah. But still, I mean, it was kind to say of part that of Russia, it,
hi yep. to all our Russian viewers. but to say that Russia is still like, be like, oh no, they let all the Soviet stuff out in the open.
They're
like,
more open.
They're
now?
More open. Oh,
they are more open.
But they're still very.
They're still suppressing a lot.
Oh no, I agree. But we're at the point now where a lot of these guys are in their 40s, or a lot of these citizens are in their 40s through 80s.
40s, yeah,
if and they're alive. They're probably willing to talk about some things. So this isn't really a bad time to hit that.
I mean, like, on that theme, the scene in that KGB prison where he comes to rescue what's her name? That was actually shot in an actual KGB prison in Lithuania, in the capital city, and it's now a museum today.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to know the name. Don't say the name of the podcast, but I need to listen to
it. It's the Chernobyl podcast.
Oh, is that really what it is?
Yeah, just go on HBO Go, and it's on there.
Yeah. Anytime there's a new show, they always hire a podcast, an official podcast.
Hey, HBO, hire us.
Yeah, HBO. HBO, come our way.
Hit us up. A phenomenal show. Please we'll give this all the awards plus some.
Yeah,
that's my official review of this show.
Right now, probably best show I've seen
in a long time.
All year. This year, at least.
It's been a long time
since. You hated this.
At first, I was cautious. I didn't say I hate it. I wasn't on board, but I said I would give it a second episode.
John, final thoughts.
Okay, Sean, if we weren't talking about this, would you have given it a second episode?
I wouldn't have known about it.
Well, if we decided we were just...
He doesn't watch Thrones, and we saw it when we were watching
Thrones. That's why. I don't really watch HBO all that much. And even that, like, I've watched shows on HBO, like Veep, like, I've watched them sparingly and been like, oh, this is a funny show, I should watch it. But I don't. So.
John, any more thoughts on Chernobyl before we move on?
No, I mean, I thought the last episode was just kind of perfect, you know? Just really just crystallizing everything else. Like, it didn't really get... Actually, I shouldn't say it didn't get any more fucked up, because, I mean, it totally did. It's, you understand, essentially, everybody just kind of, I mean, they say lies. Lies are definitely a part of it, but, you know, at the beginning of the flashback, so to speak, you know, they're saying, like, you know, well, you know, we can't shut down the power during the day, because it's the end of the month, everybody's trying to get their quotas to meet their quotas, which is really a way of saying everybody was like fucking lazy and just trying to ram it through at the end. You know, like, it's just, It's just kind of the way people are sometimes. So, yeah. I thought it was just fantastic, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
So this is a must-watch recommendation from us.
Yes.
Yeah. Shall we move on to a new show that we may or may not continue?
Sure.
So, Good Omens.
Mm-hmm.
John, do you want to give a brief kind of synopsis of what this is about?
Yeah, if it's possible. So Good Omens is a, I guess, comedy?
It's a comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Well, episode one.
It's considered a comedy on...
From what I've seen, it's not a comedy. So, yeah, it's a comedy about these two, or rather, an angel and a demon who together are supposed to, or are tasked with bringing about Armageddon, and specifically the Antichrist. And they have an incident where they essentially lose the Antichrist, and this all takes place during, you know, modern times, modern day. And so they lose the Antichrist, and it's them trying to track it down and get everything right back on course. It's very, what's the word for it?
British.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's very a little, it's very like over the top, little self-referential, little bit like, you know, feel like a Deadpool kind of vibe to some extent. Starring David Tennant as the demon who, I forget what's his name, it's like Crowley. And Michael Sheen as, I don't know, he's an angel. John Hamm's in it, some other people. It's adapted from a book in I think it's same age as Samina. I think it's like 29, 30 years old. So, yeah, it's okay. Let me just lay this on the line here. I like watched probably the better part of 3 episodes, and like I just kind of didn't give a shit. Like,
okay,
it's like a lot of these streaming shows. You know, you start watching it, and it's very well done. There's some like okay things, but then you kind of just end up like 3 hours in, you're like, I guess I'm good.
So full disclosure, watched episode 1 and fell asleep.
Oh.
From 2 all the way through 6.
Jeez.
Actually, it was on me, and
it just kept playing.
Me and the wife, yeah, put it on. We fell asleep. It was like, and I chalked this up to parental duties that, you know, yeah, you fall asleep at 6:30 at night and then you just kind of, you know, you're out of it. So, but I did go back and rewatch it. I'm at 3, John, and I'm kind of with you.
Yeah, I've only watched the first episode.
I'm already halfway there, but yeah, there's 3 left, and it's less than an hour.
It's kind of nice that it's only 6 episodes.
It's it's labeled as a miniseries,
right?
So
yeah, I don't think it's a TV show. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of an extra long movie with breaks in between.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen the first episode. I may continue. But I say this about like every... The problem is it's an Amazon show. And when I sit down, I'm like, I want to watch something. What's on Netflix? I can't find anything. What's on Hulu? I can't find anything. I'm just going to play a game.
Yeah.
And like Amazon is that third option that I always forget is there. But like, why am I going to watch something on Amazon?
It's...
As for buying stuff and getting it 2 days later.
It's very... So critiquing this, it's very, I hate to say it again, but it's very British. It is,
yeah, no, I
very, very British.
Yeah.
It has a feel of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy plus
right,
a little bit of, I forgot the show. I was thinking of it on the ride over, but it's a little bit of Doctor Who in a way.
Well, because you got David Tennant.
But here's the thing. Episode 1, I was completely done with Dave Tennant. After 1, I'm like, if I see him in the second one for a lot, I'm going to turn it off. And I'm not going to watch it
because
he's
this,
too much for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I don't say this very often about David Tennant. Any listeners, long-time listeners, know we love David Tennant on this show.
3 out of 4 you do.
At least two of us.
I don't.
Anyways. Overly flamboyant, I guess.
He was playing... who's the guy? Bill Nighy?
What's his name? It's Nye.
Not Bill Nye the Science Guy.
No, but Bill Nye the actor.
The actor. The one from Underworld and then Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, the actor guy.
He was 100% trying to play every character that Bill Nye has played in an hour in episode one.
Yeah, it was odd because, like, he's a good actor, but I don't know. Like, I wasn't thrilled with his performance in this. Whereas, like,
it gets
Michael
a little
Sheen,
bit more toned down.
Yeah, that's good. Whereas Michael Sheen, I thought was hilarious, being like that uptight kind of like goofball.
Oh, he's eating. In full disclosure, in all the other episodes, he's eating.
Yeah. Oh no, he loves food. He like mentions that too. Like first time you see him in modern day, he's eating a Godzilla roll sushi.
Yeah.
And he, like John Hamm's like, why are you doing that? That's stupid. And he's like, but it's good.
It's blending. I'm trying to blend in. Yeah. Is what he's saying. But it's the show itself. Very British. It's very. It's not slapstick comedy. It's a dark humor. It's a dark humor, but even then, it's British comedy. You get like a chuckle.
It's dry,
which is
dry
nothing
humor.
Really laughing.
Very,
it's
very.
It's just
dry.
A chuckle.
Like, yeah, I chuckled a lot, but I wouldn't say I laughed a lot.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it is.
So,
but it is short. I'll give you that. It's a little under 6 hours. The whole thing.
Yeah,
but it's. I don't want to say it's a chore, but it's not enticing you to.
Yeah, it doesn't draw you back.
Following.
I would like, the first episode kind of ends on a cliffhanger because like, oh no, he has the hellhound now and he's given it a name.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, but yeah, I know, but like nothing seems to be wrong with this child right now, even though, you know, he is the Antichrist, but he seems like a normal kid. So like, I don't see anybody in peril right now, so why am I going to come back and view it? Like, it was a funny concept that I just feel like didn't pan out the best way for the first episode.
You get introduced to a few more characters in the second.
For a small series like this, I hate that.
Yeah. I haven't... It's not fully fleshed out yet either after the third one.
Yeah. I mean, I bet the book is awesome and hilarious, but I don't know. I'm just... Eventually, maybe I'll get back to this, but like, I think I might be with you guys and just be like, yeah, I'm good.
At this point, I'm
I
halfway
feel like
through.
Hour-long comedies, man, is such a weird hang that it's very hard to get right. Like, at best... You know, you can have these sort of dramas that have like a lot of like funny shit going on, but are still kind of
they're still a drama,
right?
Yeah.
Whereas I just kind of didn't care about the plot at the end of the day, mm-hmm. and it's not like I was like super distracted or just wanted to, you know, hang out with David Tennant and Michael Sheen. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was just kind of meh, which. It ain't the greatest for Amazon because they put a lot of money into this.
Yeah.
You can tell with the casting and even just the production. Even though it was only 6 hours, but
still,
you know, yeah, you just tell it was like an eggs in a basket kind of show.
It's hard to.
It's gotten great reviews though from people online, which is disappointing that we were like meh on this.
Wait, what's the reviews online?
They're good. It's fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Audience score is high. I believe it's a high on IMDb for fan scores and stuff. Like, it's gotten. You know, it's well received.
I mean, which I would like Rotten Tomatoes is kind of like a weird, like it's like, I don't know if I can call this show rotten. It's, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm not going to sit through fine for 6 hours.
This is where the flaw in Rotten Tomatoes comes in, where it's like, was this a bad show? No. So you would say it's a good show. Well, I mean, it's okay. All right, so you give it a positive review. So get enough people who are like, yeah, it was fine. Boom, it's 98%.
Yeah, like flirts with the line.
But it's a meh. Like, it's not bad, but it's not amazing. So, like, it just inflates the score.
I know it's sort of obvious, but, like, if, you know, I feel like a lot of these miniseries, to some extent, Because, like, what you're saying, I mean, this is, like, just adapting a book. They probably looked at it as, like, oh, this is going to be impossible to adapt to feature length. Let's make a miniseries. But, you know, there's a certain level of, like, it's got to be compelling enough to sustain 6 hours. And, I mean, like, there's very few movies where that would ever be the case, you know? Like, let alone, you know, most, like, miniseries. I mean, you know, sometimes you hit that. Like, Chernobyl is fantastic, but it's just, I don't know. They try to do these things, and it doesn't seem to work more often than not.
Yeah.
This is the second Amazon show recently that I've tried.
Yeah.
That's not... it's not would satisfying.
What was the other one?
The Kate Beckinsale one, where her husband is killed in a plane crash and she has to go to Africa to figure it out.
That's right. You did watch that.
Yeah, I forget what it was called, though.
Yeah. I've just never been, like... because I want to get into The Tick, because I liked that show as a kid. And, like, I've heard amazing things about the show on Amazon. It's just, like I said, it's, like, my fourth option on when I'm bored. It's Netflix, Hulu, video games, and then
we each have our own.
Yeah.
We each have our own streaming service that we go to first, and then I think Hulu is my first now.
Yeah,
because nothing really. There's too much original content on Netflix right now. That's just kind of
it is. Yeah,
everything takes a back burner at that point.
Yeah.
All right, so Good Omens, we're recommending it.
I mean, it seems like people are like, it's okay. So I mean, give it a shot. I would not tell somebody no.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it might land with some people, it might not, but I would bring it up with that kind of warning. Like,
any of you guys plan on finishing it?
We'll see.
John?
So, what I ended up doing was just watching Fleabag Season 2, a movie, a show that I had not even watched the first season of, but I heard the second season was incredible. And let me tell you, another British show. Yeah. And I absolutely love the 3-4 episodes I watched, and they're like half hour long, and there's only like 6 of them.
Ooh.
Not exactly the easiest show to describe, just kind of, you know, maybe just watch like the first episode of the second season. You'll get a vibe for it. I think it's pretty easy to understand. Yeah, it's kind of tough to describe, honestly. It's like, if I were to describe it, it's not really a lot of plot. Just, like, this woman living in London, like, probably 30s, late 30s-ish. Yeah, shit's happening.
All right. So your recommendation for Good Omens is
go watch Fleabag Season 2.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation. Right. Also on Amazon.
Right. This is going to get out of control. Should we move on to the final?
That's fine.
The final topic.
All right.
Godzilla.
King of the Monsters.
King of the Monsters came out on Friday of last week.
Yes.
And it is the number one box office movie in the weekend.
If you want to call it that.
$49 million.
That was bad.
It was lower than expected.
Worse than B-movie.
It was...
yeah, but like, that was B-movie.
It was the lowest grossing...
You like jazz?
In the Zilla. It was lowest grossing in the Zilla universe.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's not... I have like, a big... the Metacritic written down.
Oh, boy.
I feel like I already...
yeah, no, that's
I feel
fine.
Like I already have it, but I can right. read it in a couple minutes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Full disclosure, when I did go see this movie, they played two particular trailers that we talked about last week beforehand.
Which ones?
And the movie was full. The movie theater was full.
Ooh, okay.
And, granted, it wasn't a big theater. It was the one in the Showcase and Deluxe and all Edinburgh, that.
Yeah.
So I went to sit, I had my own seat, and I was sitting with a whole bunch of other people around me, and then all of a sudden, we're sitting there, we're watching previews, and on the screen, it shows up Balboa Pictures or something,
oh, God,
and then
Rambo.
The lady next to me goes, oh boy. And then we watch the trailer, and then there's just a collective sigh in the whole movie theater, and then there's a second trailer comes on, and then you just... see the action, and then Sarah Connor walks out of the thing, and then the same lady's like, my God.
it's
nobody's happy about any of those two.
No, it's true. I mean, I would say there's more people excited for Terminator than there are for Rambo. Like, no one cares. It's like this scene with Nedry in Jurassic Park. No one cares.
Yeah.
But
well, Godzilla. Yeah. Quick summary of the movie itself.
All right.
It takes place 5 years after.
Yep.
San Francisco from
so
the,
2019. Godzilla. Who knew?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah.
And at this point, there's a 56-ish monarch sites.
Yeah.
They're monitoring.
There's a bunch,
frozen in dormant.
Yeah.
Creatures
yep.
that are similar to Godzilla, or titans, if you will.
Yeah, they are all titans.
And we're in this, let's kill them, let's just watch them and monitor them, and,
yeah.
and that's it. But then there's somebody who has alternative plans for the world.
Yeah.
And then they release this one massive...
They're eco-terrorists.
There's this one massive monster that they decide to release, and then it just goes downhill from there. And then there's obviously big fight scenes. And then that's pretty much all you're going to get.
Yeah,
that's exactly what this movie was.
That's a spoiler-free-ish summary.
Should I give you the Metacritic? Because I'm going to upload... I'll probably upload this as soon as I get home.
No, that's fine.
Without your permission.
Yeah, that's
even
fine.
Even if you... let me know how you think of this afterwards.
I will let you know.
See if you agree.
Yep.
With a mediocre plot and some fairly sizable holes that you could simply just need to accept to move on, yet again, the monsters are the stars in this third installment of the Zilla universe.
Mm.
Brand new monsters with some compelling mythology make this movie worth the ticket price.
Okay.
With quite possibly one of the worst villain motivations since Inferno... the movie fails to deliver any real standout performances by the human cast. But who watches for a good story? Am I right? Am I right? The exciting, new, powerful, and honestly fantastic Titan battles left the more and more pleasing feeling of satisfaction at the end of the two-hour runtime. The movie left an opening for more of these monumental kaiju standoffs, and I frankly cannot wait. Tip of 40 for Boston. Let's do a Euro trip next.
Okay.
Am I wrong in any of that?
Let's pick that apart. The plot, let's just go with, I called every twist and turn along that plot.
Was it a good plot?
I mean, it's just a typical kind of plot, like, oh, look, like, this person's bad. Oh, no, there's a twist here. Oh,
so,
no,
so
there's
mediocre.
A twist there. Yeah, I would say it's a mediocre plot for a movie that I go to. I mean, were there monster battles? Yeah, there were a lot more than the first one, which was nice, because one of the concerns about the first one was you didn't see Godzilla enough. And, like, literally the first frame, you see Godzilla.
Ooh.
Yeah, Godzilla come into frame through a building in San Francisco, because it's, like, them trying to find their son. Which, ooh, what do you know? They lost a son. Ooh, motivation there. Like, everyone does that. But... yeah, they go through everything. Lots of fan service when they show Mothra. If you listen to the soundtrack, music. It's Mothra's theme, which I thought was incredible. They even do Ghidorah's theme, Rodan's theme, and obviously Godzilla's theme. But when they get to see King Ghidorah, they even mention that his code name is Monster Zero, which his code name in the movies too is Monster Zero, so it was like a nice Easter egg right there, which was really nice.
There were a bunch of Easter eggs filtered throughout the whole movie.
There was the nice thing that I really liked is they didn't tamper with the backstory on Ghidorah. They actually hit it right on the head. King Ghidorah. Sam, where's King Ghidorah from?
Planet.
Don't spoil. Well, hold on.
X.
Well, spoiler.
Not many people saw this movie. But I'm saying, like, if you know...
I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted. I'm on IMDb right now.
Stop reading about this movie!
No. I found something out that's totally more mind-boggling. Fred
what
Durst directs
yes,
movies.
Yes, I will get to that later.
Wait, hold on.
Hold on. I will get to that later, Sam. So, Sam, where does King Ghidorah come from? Not specifically, but...
It's Planet X,
it's
right?
Just, he's an alien.
Yeah.
What do you know? They find out that he's an alien in the movie. He came from the heavens, and he's not supposed to be there. So I was like, oh, that's really nice. I really like that. They mentioned that Mothra is like the queen of the Titans.
Very subtly.
Very subtly, very subtle. But like they do mention it, and it was like, oh, that's kind of nice. But like sending a nuke in to give Godzilla more power. I mean, come on.
Oh my God.
They all do that. Come on. Yeah. So like all in all, like as a movie, as a movie going experience, I mean, it was a mediocre movie. That being said, now let me turn on the Godzilla switch. Oh my God, this was an amazing movie. Oh my God. Like I can't grade this correctly. This is a freaking like 10 for me.
Right.
Like, my God.
The fight scenes were fantastic.
Phenomenal. Like everything, like when I was like, oh, you know, Mothra's gonna come in at the end. Oh, Mothra came in at the end. I was like, edge of my seat, tears come down because I had no one in the movie theater. So like imagine
how do you have nobody in the movie
theater? There was no one there. It was phenomenal.
Oh,
so like I was edge of my seat. I'm eating nachos, eating popcorn, drinking an icy. Like I was a kid. Like nobody in this theater. So I was like, think of your emotions during Endgame, but you were like, I can't do it, there's people around. I let it go. I was like, I was singing to the music, I was cheering, I was going
literally
nuts.
The only one in the theater.
Well, there was like five other people, but but like I'm in the back, no one's around me. Like I had, this was, as a Godzilla fan, this movie was exactly what I thought it was going to be,
and it plus delivered some. On it.
It delivered on every level I needed it to deliver on, and I am so happy this movie was made. And I really wish people would go out and give this movie a shot.
It's not going to happen.
No, but we are getting Kong. We are getting Godzilla versus King Kong, mm-hmm. because that's basically done and ready to be.
Yeah, they already filmed a bunch of it.
They're going to make the fight?
Yeah.
Well, it's... Well, I don't want to say, so there's a, it's almost a spoiler alert, but
Both of their promoters agreed to fight?
No, they set up, a Godzilla Kong fight.
Oh, yeah.
During the
end credits, when they played Serge Tankian's version of the Blue Oyster Cult's Godzilla, which I thought was awesome.
It's subtle, and you might miss it. You have to read, but you know.
But like, there's certain things that they did perfectly. I mean, I'm going spoiler heavy right now, but like,
wait, hold on. Yeah, we can go spoiler heavy. Now. Yeah,
Like, Mothra sacrificing herself for Godzilla, that would happen in any Toho film, and it has happened in many Toho films where Mothra will die, but because she's an insect, there are other eggs around the world, which during the end credits it says massive egg found in blah blah blah.
Was that what that was?
Yes, that's okay. Mothra. Right, it's right. Gotta be Mothra. What else would it be? So Mothra is still around, alive, quote unquote. Because Mothra dies in like every movie she's in, but she always fights to the end. Which I mean she owned
well, she took out Rodan. Well.
With that spike on her abdomen.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, the fights were awesome in this. God. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I really enjoyed was how King Ghidorah's heads communicated, like independently like they were fighting at times with one another. Like that was awesome. I loved that. I mean, there was just so much that I came away from that movie, and I was just so happy. Like, just I couldn't be happier with this movie. There's no way they could have made a better movie for the Godzilla fan in me.
Oh, yeah.
It's, because I don't care
Godzilla fan base, it definitely hit the nail on the head. If you wanted to see big kaijus fighting each other,
yeah, it was filled with it.
This is a movie you want to see. Do you want to see a good plot? Don't go to this movie. Do you want to see good acting? Don't go to this movie.
Yeah. I mean,
do you want to see huge monsters fighting each other with... I mean, it's an alien, but they're massive explosions and a bunch of blinding light and an underground city, and it's just...
Now, I had to write this down. We did get three brand new Titans. In this movie, we got three brand new...
Yeah,
Not part of Toho. These are completely different. So the first one is Scylla. Scylla.
That wasn't the mammoth looking
one. It was the crab spider thing.
Okay.
So that was from Arizona. That's the thing that with the things that come out of the ground that we were like, what is that? Mm-hmm. When we watched the trailer, that's what that was. The behemoth, which is the ape mammoth.
Okay.
Because it's like a mammoth without a trunk. Yeah.
Okay.
Look in the tunk. Thank you, Ralph Wiggum, for ruining that word for me.
See, words are tough.
Yes. And then the other one was Methuselah, which was the one in Germany that came out of the mountain.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. And then there was a Mudo in the movie. Did you see it?
Yes, yeah. I did. Yeah.
So then that happened, and I mean, this movie was phenomenal.
Some portions, half the movie, if you were to break it out, was phenomenal. The other half was very bad.
I wouldn't say very bad. I've seen worse.
It was
the plot went exactly like you thought it would go. It's like, oh no, Godzilla's exactly. dead. Now exactly. we got to do something. But he's not
your
dead.
Expectations for that are so low that it just kind of met it. It didn't exceed. It didn't. Because
I don't care about that.
Hang on. Yes. Does he say let them fight?
Yeah. Early on.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah. Because he's like, somebody was like, what should we do? Just let them fight. And like the new guy was like, oh, classic doctor, whatever.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I wish he would just like stood up and be like, yeah, woo, let him fight. Here's the spades.
No, the movie, I'm glad I spent money to see it. I'm glad I did.
I was so happy I saw
it. For me, it was worth it. I'm a mild Godzilla fan, clearly not as much as you. I've seen all of them at least once, probably at your house when we were kids.
Yeah.
But I'm happy I saw it, and I wouldn't mind another one.
No,
I'll still go see it in theaters if there's another one, which Kong
it's and, coming regardless of how this one did in movie theaters. They already
It is the lowest grossing so far. Opening weekend.
Unfortunately, like I said, B-movie had a better opening.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Well,
so hopefully King Kong versus Godzilla does a lot better.
Well, B-movie had a talking B. I
mean, well, here's
Jerry Seinfeld.
Here's the thing. I think they see these numbers and they're like, "All right, well, if we don't pull out of this,
the thing is, it's doing well overseas."
Well, that's the other thing I was going to mention. Yeah. Overseas are probably, you know, keeping this thing afloat.
Yeah. The overseas has already made its budget plus some, which is, I mean, Godzilla's tough on the American audience. Like, yeah, it's been successful enough, but Godzilla's still huge overseas. Like, that's where the market is for this.
Yeah, but they don't pay for all the CGI.
No, but Toho is behind this 110%. And as long as Toho's behind it.
But does that mean all the money is going from Toho? Are they paying all the budget?
If they have to, I feel like they would because, I mean...
Well,
these movies didn't see
Toho at the beginning in the opening credits.
No, it's just... Legendary has the deal...
It's Legendary and WB.
Well, WB Music. Legendary is the...
WB was on part of the thing. They could have just been the distributor. I don't know.
Yeah. But Legendary has the rights to Godzilla right now. And Toho has been happy with... Every part.
That's fine, but who's fronting the money? It's all about the money because it's not cheap.
If it has to be Toho, they'll do it. I feel because
whether or not they do is a different story.
Toho's happy, and as long as Toho's happy and they see that it's making money, which it is overseas, they'll still front money.
Maybe we don't know. I'd have to look up whether or not their money. We can get on all that later, but. They did set up the next one.
And maybe the one after.
Which...
Did you understand the end credits?
Was that the head, right?
So, Sam, since you're a Godzilla fan, so King Ghidorah is defeated in the end. All right? Obviously, because it's Godzilla. But his body is completely destroyed. Nothing left of him. The post-credit scene is this eco-terrorist guy, the bad guy, is like off the coast of this island that they were at earlier on in the movie where Godzilla and King Ghidorah fought for a second time. Yes, there's three fights, which is awesome. So he's like, oh yeah, this is super rare. Like, we can't fish anymore here because it's so polluted and blah, blah, blah. But hopefully, this will pay for all of us, blah, blah, blah. Opens the door. You see the head of King Ghidorah. Just one head. What do you think that means?
Well, in the movie...
Can't Ghidorah grow from that?
Ghidorah can grow from the body, because it does. It loses a head, and it grows the head right back. So this is just a head that hasn't grown any body.
Oh, yes. Mecha Ghidorah.
Mecha King Ghidorah.
Mecha Ghidorah. Or Mecha type Godzilla.
So one of the theories going around is that this guy, this eco-terrorist guy, is actually an alien.
We'll see. But whether or not they pay his salary again, it's...
I mean, he has to build a whole Mecha Ghidorah. That's going to be pretty expensive.
Yeah, but that's, you know... It's Charles Dance. He's not. I don't think he comes cheap.
I don't think he comes expensive either.
Yeah, but I don't think he comes cheap. And, I don't think the reason he comes that expensive. And you could save like $5 million here, $5 million there if you don't cast these A-listers.
He's not an A-lister, though.
Oh, boy.
He's not. Name another movie he's in that, like, successful movies.
No, he did all the Thrones.
Outside of Game of Thrones, name a movie he was in that he was, like, a successful movie.
Charles Dance.
Charles Dance.
I've seen a bunch of TV shows.
Have you ever heard of fucking Alien 3?
Alien 3.
So John, you would say Dance is an A-lister in Hollywood, or would you put him at like more of like a B-lister?
I would say Charles Dance is a solid, like... I would say he's first-tier character actor.
All right. But would you put him as an A-lister?
Not by any means, no.
There you go. Hmm. He's not an A-lister.
I can't imagine he comes cheap.
And Chuck he doesn't come expensive.
Whatever.
And odds are... He probably signed a multi-movie deal with the company.
Who knows?
Odds are.
Who knows what they're doing? Based
on the ending of the movie, he probably signed on for a multi-movie deal.
Can we move on to ratings?
Go ahead.
I'm going to give this a 7.
I can't back down.
This is a movie.
I know.
I'm rating this as a movie.
I know, and I'm glad you wrote the Metascore because I wouldn't be able to. I can't. I can't write the Metascore for this because, like, at the end of the day, like, this is what I wanted.
You got to come up with a number.
Yeah, I'm going with a 10. Like, this is perfect. I have no problems with this movie.
All right. That's...
This is my Chris rating right now.
I never gave a 10 out.
No, I know, but you've overrated movies.
Don't say Wonder Woman.
You did.
9-2.
Yeah. Like, Sam, you got to see this movie as a Godzilla fan. Like,
a 10.
You just admitted it didn't have a plot. It does have a plot. The thing is, it's just so perfect for a Godzilla movie. It's like, oh my god, it like hit the nail on the head for what I wanted this movie to be. As a movie, was it flawed? Yes. But as a fan of Godzilla, this hit exactly where I needed it to.
I was like, man, people are going to give me shit for Endgame. No. Give it an 9-3. Everybody's going to be all like, ooh, Sam just gave that because he loved it.
But yeah,
like,
Chris
outvotes me on that movie, and then you give Godzilla a 10?
I mean, this movie is just so phenomenal.
Why not just give it an 11?
Because it doesn't go to 11.
Oh my god, Sean.
No, I'm sorry, like, I seriously.
This does surprise me. I was expecting like a 9.5.
Yeah, no, I have no problems with this movie because it did what I needed it to. And that's why I have no problems with this movie. I was so happy. I told you, this is my Chris rating.
Okay, Chris is going to be bad, but he's never given a 10.
Yeah,
well, you realize what 10 means?
Yes, I do.
This is a perfect film.
As a Godzilla fan, yes. This was a perfect Godzilla film. That's why I said I can't give I'm happy you wrote the Metacritic rating because I never could. It's impossible for me because like this movie so could have easily been a disappointment for me, but it wasn't. It hit all the check boxes that I needed it to. Like it did. Like unfortunately as a Godzilla fan, like this hit every box and I'm so happy for this.
We didn't see tanks.
I don't need tanks.
Tanks are in almost every Godzilla
movie. Oh, well, they're Japanese tanks because they don't spend money on their military, but they can spend money on their Godzilla military, so they shoot lasers. But they're
so,
no.
So in order to get another 10 on the next movie, we need tanks with
no,
lasers.
No, I you're the one who brought up tanks. I'm fine without tanks.
Oh my god.
Like there were some awesome shots and like at least I mean I tip like you said tip a 40 to Boston. Boston gets fucked.
Yeah,
they and do. It's great.
Euro trip next.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they had San Francisco on one side. But I did like how they were like everywhere these titans have fought, like life has found a way to regrow
and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, that
was a good kind of
like reasoning for the fight.
Counterpoint to what was actually going on. And then it's all these news articles, it's like 139 species are not endangered anymore.
Yeah. It's like it was just nice that they were like they gave a reason for the titans being there. Kind of thing, rather than be like, just giant monsters fighting.
Well,
like,
yeah, because at the end of the movie, you're like, hold on, they just destroyed everything. And then you get
Boston
these clips.
Boston is gone.
Well, no, it's just other cities as well throughout the world. And then you see these things where it's like, all right, well, forest grows here. And
radiation causes...
Like, ozone layer is healing type thing.
And, it's like these titans were there for a reason.
Yeah, so that makes me think Charles Dance's whole thing is... useless after that because eco-terrorism, they just saved the planet.
Yeah, well, that was, I mean, yeah, now that it's useless, but...
Well, that's, yeah, it's not in the movie, but it's just an afterthought.
Yeah, it's an afterthought, but, like, that was his point was just, like, we need to destroy humanity to heal the planet. Yeah. And, like, that's, by waking up King Ghidorah, he was able to do that.
Mm. I wonder if he signed a book deal. I tried to destroy the planet, but I really saved it.
Well, he was never trying to destroy it. He was trying to heal it. And we were the infection.
All right, so the next one is Godzilla
versus
like Kong, right?
Every villain's
right?
Every villain's like motivation now ever since Infinity War is I'm going to kill off like half of the planet.
Yeah.
Cuz now we got Hobbs and Shaw,
which
has that exact plot.
Inferno was first before Infinity War.
Sorry.
I don't think everyone's trying to follow
Inferno. No one saw Inferno, so...
Well, the Inferno is the same thing. Destroy the humans.
Yeah.
To filter down the population to save the planet. Yeah. Anyway. Shall we wrap this up?
Yeah, why not?
John, are you going to go see Godzilla at some point or no?
Probably not. Probably waiting for HBO.
Yeah. Sam?
Yeah. If I ever feel healthy enough.
If you go, let me know. I'll go again.
Jesus. Of course you will.
It was so good.
Anyway, tell us what you think on Facebook.
Tell me how bad my rating is.
Whether or not you think Sean is nuts, which, you know, is possible. But then tell us if you actually like Godzilla. Because I feel like we're going to get hits and misses on this one. But anyway, send us a message on Facebook. Also, if you want to give us a show to watch, we'll review that. And whether or not you want one of us to go to Dark Phoenix.
Oh, God.
Hopefully, we can end up seeing that.
Yeah.
That does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.
The Dark Phoenix.